Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, Sylvia. before I go into my message, I forgot to announce something. There's a worship team meeting straight after, okay? So just take note of that. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time that you have brought us together, that we are all the called out ones. We are ready to receive from you the instructions, Lord. Spirit of God, speak to us today and use me to release that words that is like fire, that will touch the hearts of people, that will touch each and every one of us here today and transforming us from glory to our destiny, O Lord, that we will truly understand the hope that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I don't know about you, but last week when Adrian shared his message, I was really touched. I was really encouraged, and it's like from both sides, what God has done in my life and what God's done in his life and how God sort of put it together like a jigsaw puzzle and how we are helping each other as brothers in covenant. And also how he took us down memory lane, as we would say, by showing all those old photos, my younger photos as well. And it got me thinking like how I was at that time and how I am now, how the mindset that I had before as a young Christian, like quote-unquote young Christian, and how I grew. And the thing that most strike me is something what you call, today the title of my message is, you know, Sons of God Most High Embrace Great Destiny. Now, I don't want this to be another cliche, like, you know, yes, we know church have great destiny, yes, God has a purpose and plan for me. It's more than that. How I was sitting at the seats last time, 15 years ago, and how I now sit, and how I think, it's all different. You know, last time it seems that, you know, coming to church is learn Christian principles, be good, try to be, you know, that's all good. I'm not saying it's wrong, but my mentality is, let me build my character so that I be a good person and so on. You know, there's no outward purpose in that sense. You know, to say that I can pray for someone that he will be healed and be transformed. Oh, no. That's not for me. That's for someone else, or, you know. And I can't see that great destiny that God has for his church and how all of us are put in that destiny. Because, you know, then when I go to life group or Bible class and all that, it's all so that I learn more. It's all very knowledgeable. Yes, it's good. We need to know what God says. We need to know the Bible. We need to know what our Saviors talk about us. And from there, we learn about our destiny. But then it has to go further to me. This is what, in this week, basically, as I was preparing for this message, because if my destiny or purpose is small, and once I receive it, then it's like, or once I fulfilled it, then it feels like nothing. I don't know if you all heard this week, one of the famous Olympian swimmer, right? Australian, Grant Hackett. You know, he's not doing very well, right? And we know that he's won many gold medals for Australia. But once he finished his sports, right, it's like he's got no purpose and he went into drugs and things like that. So it's like God just spoke to me. It's like, and the news said they need to have programs for sports people that what to do after their sporting achievements. It's like that can sometimes happen to us if we have very small destiny and purpose. Because if not, then when we come to prayer meeting, oh, it's just for today. We pray, and then that's it. That's how I used to think. You know, very small, very, you know, very inward, very just me. But however, ever since, you know, connecting to pastors and pastors sending us to Moab, or, you know, it just opens. The first thing you just realize is it's not about you. It's so much bigger. It's so much bigger that God put us in a church, in Evangel Church. Amen? Do we know that we have great destiny? Do we really know what that means? Amen? And as I go through this, the title that I choose, Embrace Great Destiny, I was did it on purpose because Chiong's message last week was, do not despise small beginnings, right? But on the other hand, we must also, so the opposite of despise is embrace, okay, or cherish, right? Or take on. The opposite of small is great. And the opposite of beginning is destiny, or the finished one, right? So we not only should just look at our past, all right? This is what I get from Adrian. If we go to the next. Sorry. All right. So Adrian, start with this, right? Do not despise small beginnings. But then that wasn't the only thing that I got from him, that he said, you know, all that little trainings that he had. It's the other thing was he desired change. He desired the process. Whatever he sees others have, he said, pray for me. I also want. That was what was touching me, you know. And I truly, like when he was saying, do I remember the time that he called me to pray for him to have this, you know, true sons of the house. I remember that. I was driving, in fact. And I remember how humble he was to just kind of say, brother, can you pray for me in this area? And it's just, wow, it's just great. And then the next thing is what my message is focused on today is embrace great destiny. When we study the Bible, we see that God is using his church with a mighty purpose. You know, it's to affect the nations. You know, we have to think big. And, you know, when I said last time, you know, just to learn Christianity is not enough. That's what we call a member mentality or just student. But as I understand what it means to be true sons of the house, true sons of God, or son of God Most High, you know, we start having this son or prince. Because if we are son of the Most High King, what does that make us? Prince, right? And prince mentality is very different. Prince, a preparation for a person to become a prince is different. Yeah? And we start thinking, oh, wow, I'm supposed to be a prince. You know, I'm supposed to be ruling and reigning with Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, it's like, if we like to quote this a lot, ruling and reigning with Christ, is it just mean having a happy life, you know, no problems? It's not at all. In fact, it's probably the opposite. It's about how we use what God or what the Holy Spirit teach us or speak to us, and then we use it outside. It has to come out. It has to be come out, right? We heard about, talk about church without walls. It has to come out, and it has to be released to the nations. Amen? And that's for when I get this, I guess you call revelation, that I'm meant for greater things, and that greater things is achieved within the church. You know, sometimes when I think doing greater things means missionary, means go out, right? You know, when it's not wrong. That's how God can use. But again, it's very small. It's like, to do work means to do charity work outside in India somewhere, or in, you know, in one of the poor countries. That was my mindset. That's how God can use me, right? Or that's how, if God wants to use me in a big way, that's how I think. Oh, somewhere far, somewhere, what do you call it? In a poor country and all that. But little did I know, within the house here, we have great purpose already to do, right? Recently, we've got community garden. We have to see that is an amazing time, amazing way God is using evangel to touch nations, right? We've got Keith and Sylvia, for example, right? Never would I imagine that we would see them here, you know? And it was just from a simple, at that time, what were we doing? We go to council to spy and see what they were, what the council meeting was all about, you know? You know, that was the, but little did we know, because we have this mentality now, anyone we see, pray. Anyone we see, pray. We'll never know what we'll be touching. Can you see now? Right? There's the opposite. One is, I'm small here only. And then, if I want to do big thing, I have to go out somewhere and do, right? But no, because we know who we are, wherever we are already, we must have that big vision at all times. Amen? All right? And I hope that and again, I encourage as many, if you can go to Moa, that conference, wow, that is amazing, you know, because first thing, the mindset just all changed. You know, the first thing that I really, really understand or receive from there was that, you know, we are meant to partner with our pastors. You know, instead of just saying, "Pastor, I'll support you," means they stand there and then I stand behind. I support you, money or prayer, just like that. But he gave a different picture. It's like we got to stand side by side with other sons of the house to fight. It's like an army to build that. Can you see the different mindset that we have now? And that just, accelerate me in my growth or in my desire to know more. Now I know when I want to learn about the Bible, learn about the last days, why? It's so that I can touch another person and tell them, you know, why do I want to pray, come to prayer meeting? It's so that I build up for what? Not so that I feel, wow, I'm in cloud nine. But then, you know, I realize if I don't have, I go out, you're just very shaken. Yeah? So all this, then we start seeing all the little things, there are purpose to it. Only when you see each of us here have a great destiny. Amen? So that's the introduction, okay? All right. So, and I ended my last message with this scripture where, remember, Abraham rescued Lot and his men and he defeated the army of five kings, right? So, in Genesis 14, 19 to 20, it says here, "And he," which is Melchizedek, which is the priest, the high priest, yeah, right? "And blessed him, Abraham, and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.'" And what that speaks to me then, after all this, right? Blessed be Abraham. It's like, firstly, God really desires to bless us. God desires to bless us, and he blessed us with a purpose. And we know that we're going through, in life group, right? The strengthen yourself in the Lord. You know, God wants everyone to be promoted, but that promotion has a purpose, right? It's not just for us. It's so that we can affect the others around us. Remember that scripture, you know, because God loved Israel, okay, a big group of people, he raised up David. He promoted David, yeah, so that people around him. So we have to see that, you know, God wants to bless us, and God is choosing us. Why? Because he wants us to be this choice instrument. Everyone say with me, choice instrument. To affect the life of others around us. Oh, okay. Again. To affect the life of others around us. With the Holy Spirit empowering us from the inside. So then we don't do what you call, quote unquote, charity work. You know, charity work is very outward. It's men doing it so that they feel satisfied. But we have to see that whatever we're doing, it has to come from the Spirit. And this is something I'm learning. I have to keep learning, because if not, I find myself being tired out if I try to do it with my own strength. Yeah? And this is what I'm trying to to share today, that whatever we are doing as well cannot come out of our own strength, but yet we got to decide that we want to do it. And when we decide that, you know, we become that free vessel that the Holy Spirit can use. Amen? So there's always a balance, because we can't say, okay, we wait for the Spirit to speak and then we wait, and then we wait, and we wait. We don't move out at all. Okay? Or we don't even pray then. You know, we just think one day suddenly, oh, God is just going to speak and then I'll pray for people. It's not like that at all. There's this balance somehow. You know, we got a desire. We learned this in class. We got to desire the gifts, but yet we must also let the Holy Spirit stir the gifts so that it will come out in the right way and touch people the right way. Amen? And also, I've ended my message last time with this. You know, that as sons of God, the people around us, so think about your family members right now. Think about the people you're meeting at work or at school, right? They are waiting for us to become, or to come to this stature of becoming sons of God, so that we are revealed to them. But not that, oh, Dino is a son of God, but more that Dino is the Son of God Most High, Jesus, that from there the light shines, and then they want to know why. Why is it different? Why is Keith different? Why is everyone here is different? Why is that? And they are waiting for that revealing. So it to me, when I understood this, when I read or meditate on this scripture, it suddenly, can you see it turns back? It turns back on my, it's like, they are expecting me to rise to that stature. Wow, I better be quick. I don't waste time in that sense. Don't waste time. Make sure I do everything that I do is towards that becoming these sons of God. Amen? All right. Next one. So then the next one here, of God Most High. So as I said before, if we are sons of king, of a king, that means we are princes. And we must think that this king is no ordinary king. Amen? Okay, let's try again. Jesus is no ordinary king. Amen? Amen. All right? Our God is a God Most High. Everyone say with me, our God is a God Most High. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. So, we must think like a prince. Okay? And again, there's a balance here. Not that so we rise a stature to a prince and use that, what you call position or privilege to make people serve us. You know, Jesus is the best example that he is both king, but yet a servant. Wow, that's amazing. And I've been reading the book of John. You know, it's like Jesus just portrays these two things. He's a king in the authority sense when he teach, but yet he has so much heart for people that he keeps serving them. So this is the kind of thing that we must think also. We must rise up to this level. You know, in Luke chapter 2, you know, Jesus rise in stature and and gave favor with God and men. So if Jesus did that, how much more we? Yeah, we got to rise up in stature. And that's one of the first scripture that spoke to me that, yep, I want to be trained. It's that we just got to rise to stature. It's like, wow. It's like, okay, now what does stature mean? You know, what all this? This one, I still don't know. But all I knew was, I want it. You know, and I start seeing Bible study differently. I started seeing prayer meeting differently. You know, all this is for me to rise up to stature. Yeah? And our God, and the next one, sorry. So, and our God is a great God with great plans for his church. If we meditate on Ephesians 1, hopefully this is what we get. You know, at the end it says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, if we see this, that we got to be of stature, we got to be of authority, then the standard that we live got to match that. Right? Because, as I said, a person that is preparing for a position of a prince and as a person preparing for what Dr. Jonathan Davis said, for the streets, is different. There is a different kind of preparation. Okay? All right. And if you remember, this was two messages before, when I talk about sons inheriting the kingdom, remember that we talk about we are sons of God to inherit the kingdom, because only sons inherit. When do we inherit the kingdom? Is now. Okay, it's not that when we leave this earth, that's when we inherit the kingdom of God. It's here itself, we got to start inheriting. And how we inherit, the Bible says that, you know, the kingdom of God is like seeds. You know, and as we receive seed, and you know, we're meant to receive it on the good ground, we're meant to water it. You know, water is like prayer and word. We're meant to fertilize it. That you can be seen as, you know, getting impartation from people, giving you a boost, right? And also, we got to learn something that we maybe never talk about. We also got to guard the seeds. Because as the seeds grow, if we stop at any point of time, the seeds will die. The little plant will die. And there's no fruit. So, this guarding process, I think it was just before I left for Malaysia, you know, God just spoke to me. He said, you know, depression and distraction, these two things, it's like, if you're not careful, it will just seep in. Depression is like this. Depression causes you to just don't want to move because you feel so depressed. I can't do it. It's not me. I'm small. But distraction is the active part. It's like, no, I don't want, because I want this one, which is more fun, rather than what God has prepared for me. So it's like, and something that I shared in the Kepong Church, we really got to guard ourselves against the spirit of depression and distraction. Because these two can just lead us away. And then all the seeds, whatever we've been planting, whatever we've been watering, it's all gone to waste. Because we never appreciate or we never guard the seeds properly. And then the last thing that I talk about is seeds has the potential to multiply. And something that God just gave me last night was like, say this, don't have a fruit mentality. Everyone say it with me, don't have a fruit mentality. Okay, actually I should highlight is the word meaning does one seed give to one fruit? Think about this question. Does one seed give only one fruit? No. One seed normally gives more fruits. If that one seed give one fruit, you'll be angry at that tree, right? Be like, all this watering, all this fertilizing, and you're only giving me one fruit, like, right? So you gotta think, seeds has potential to multiply, which means then, to me, God is speaking to me, yes, we've been seeing fruits in our life. Maybe we've already, in some stages of our life, we've grown before, you know? But don't stop there, because don't just be happy with a fruit. Don't just be happy with one fruit. You're meant to give fruits. A lot. There is a lot of areas in our life that needs to grow some more. All right? So for me, this don't have a fruit, which means just be happy with one. Yay! And then you stop. Okay? Because, in the natural, that sounds silly. So why not in the spiritual as well? And we're learning about the parable of gifts and talents, right? And all this, it boils down to me. What God spoke to me was that, you know, I just got to continue to desire the gifts. Like Adrian, if he sees something he's lacking, he asks the person to pray for him. Wow, that is just, to me, it's just amazing. It's an amazing step that he took, a step of humility he took to want that. And also, something that I remind myself, you know, Pastor Ollie encourages to come down for prayer. Don't use that as a, don't turn it into just another prayer, but at each time, what am I coming for? Then it makes me, I gotta pay attention to the message. If not, if I go down, I also forgot what I listen. I don't even know what I'm coming for. I just, you know, it becomes automatic. Like, you got that instruction, hey, every week better come for prayer, right? But then you forgot what was the purpose of that. Amen? So every time as well, take it seriously. What I mean is take it seriously. All this prayer and impartation. Okay. And my favorite verse about sons of God and being and inheriting a kingdom of God is, you know, from Galatians, all right? I always read from in Galatians chapter 4, 1 to 7, and I stop there, all right? So I want to, and as I was preparing this message, I think God just spoke to me and said, read further on a bit. So I'll read here. Okay, Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be bondage? So I began to meditate on verse 9. It's a bit like what Abraham's blessing where he got. He was Abraham of God Most High. Can you see that it's different between God of Abraham and Abraham of God? And Pastor was always highlighting this to me. And I'm like, ooh, I want to understand further what that means. You know, it says here, right, in verse, let me turn back here, in there, it says, we always say that when we are saved, I found God, I know God now. But do we know that God knows us? In fact, He knows us first. Yeah? So what does it mean? To me, this is just very, very summarizing. You know, He knows our capacity. He knows our potential. He knows our destiny even. But do we? You know, I ask myself this. Do I know what God knows about me at the moment? And that's what the strengthen itself in the Lord, the life group lesson, it says that, you know, sometimes God gives words just enough what's from the future so that from here I can see it. Oh, now I want to go to that future. You know, do we know it? You know, and in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So, do we know that God made us, you know, specifically for a certain purpose? We have to know this because, you know, the Bible says without vision, the people perish, right? And we learn again in life group was when Israel did not consider her destiny, it fell, okay? And we were, even when we were discussing this, it's in the next slide. So when we know that we are sons of the High King and we have the blood of Christ in us, we got to think we have royal blood. You know, it's time to rise in stature. Can you see now the mindsets all change if we have royal? That means all the little things that what you call disturb us, we see it as the enemy is just trying to pull us away from our destiny. No more it's because, it's me like that, I need encouragement and all that. Yeah, it's like, can you see in a different context now? When we are being disturbed, you know, especially as I always look in the news, when things are getting a bit shaken, you know, when I ask, I've got some friends who are Christians as well, they're like, good. I said, good? Why? It means the church is doing something correct that is shaking the enemy, and the enemy is being angry. And a recent prophetic word from Cindy Jacob is, we're doing the right thing, and the enemy is being angry, and he's retaliating, right? And it's like, if not, we're like, no, like God, where got God answer prayer? How come we see the country's going worse and worse, right? All the mentality starts changing. You know, if we see that the church is a royal house and we are the royal princes. Yeah? Can you see that now? Okay? So that this hopefully encourages us, you know, in wherever we are walking at the moment, you know, it encourages us that we got a greater purpose in life. Okay? And all these things should stir in us to desire even more to know what is this destiny and how to get there. In fact, how to rise to this stature. All right? So we are made for the palace. Everyone say with me, we are made for the palace, not the street. Okay? So, and then as I talk about prince, then our standard also must match. Okay? The standard of our life must match. Yeah? Because, for example, like, I don't know if you all heard this in the news, the king of Thailand, they just passed away, right? But everyone is fearful that the prince will take over because the lifestyle of the prince is not like a prince. Yeah? So we don't want to be that either, right? We want to don't just have that name. Oh, I'm a prince. Prince Dino of God Most High. Right? Sounds very nice, but yet I don't do anything about it. I don't care about my people, you know, or God's people, right? It's just got to have a balance, yeah? All right? Okay. And we talk about, you know, when we are all prepared for good works, we got to think that the good works is not just charity works. It's what kind of work that we are doing that God then says good. Good and faithful, which means it's something that God wants, okay? Not we go out suddenly, go and build schools or whatever, okay? All right. Then the next one was, he said, now that you've known God, or rather that God has known you, don't turn back again. Right? Something that we learn about Israel, you know, after they came out, after they're in the wilderness, and then when, you know, complain, even at the land, where the land is just there, also still complain. And then in Numbers, we see here, where Israel, all the people of Israel was complaining and say, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And just a background to this story is when the 10 spies were sent to spy the land of Canaan, and then after they heard the report, oh, the people are so big. It's like we are grasshoppers, they are giants. Right? After they heard that, then they complained. It's like, we can't make it. Right? So here, it's like saying their first mentality, the first thing they said is, if it's too hard, let's go back. Let's never mind, we go back to bondage. Egypt was a place of bondage, but they say, nah, let's go back. sometimes then I started thinking, for me, is my comfort zone my own bondage? Which means, do I sometimes want to just go back to being comfortable again? To, you know, sometimes maybe at that stage in life, I don't have so much quote-unquote worries. You know, like, maybe I'll just stay on this level because not so hard. You know, don't need to go to the next level, because it's just too hard, right? And something that Pastor Mei-Chin always do ask me this question from time to time, is training hard? Is training hard? It is hard because you got to think that it has to bring you to the next level, right? Exercising, you know, if it's not hard, then the muscles cannot be built, right? We got to think that. But also, if we are saying it hard because we are trying to disobey it, then we are just making it harder than it is. Do you all understand? Okay? Which means, okay, take losing weight as an example, okay? Something I'm trying to do, all right? That's the purpose, okay? But to do that, I have to run 1 hour a day and carry this much weight a day, right? So that is the instruction. But I say, no, too hard. Don't want to do it. Or maybe I'll just run half an hour instead. And then when I see the kg, the weight, it's not going down. You know, why? Why? And then we say, it's hard. But because we are not doing what we're supposed to. The instruction is what? 1 hour, say 1 hour running and 1 hour of weights. You know, if I'm not doing it, then if we say it's hard, of course it's hard. Carrying weights that is heavier than your muscles are used to is hard, right? In fact, the next day is even harder because you get cramps and things, and I don't know. I hope some of you have done weightlifting a bit, right? Your muscles get cramped. It's hard. But can you see the different kind of hardship as you go through training? And what is the difference there is that if I know what my purpose was, if the purpose was to lose weight, then the carrying weights is not hard because as I see the kgs go down, wow, this is fantastic. That hardship become easy, right? Okay, I hope you understand from this example. So, just to conclude then, so all of us here may be at different stage, all right? And Pastor Joseph this year has started and has been declaring it over and over, reset button, right? Why? Why? It's so that it gives all of us, you know, it is not too late to start growing. Start now, all right? And do not take the training or teaching or whatever we are receiving lightly, right? And if you all have your newsletter today, okay, if you all have your newsletter on the right side, all right, there's this prophetic words for us. Okay? Lay hold of this. All right? Can we, maybe let's say it together. Right? There is no limit to how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, and persecution with the same gracious spirit. All right? So, don't be discouraged. Don't think, I can't do it. Let's all step in together. Let's all say, and then, last one is, you know, sometimes you think, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what vision or all this thing is. Then, as Pastor released the vision of the house, vision of evangel, are you all not in evangel? Yeah? So, is the vision only for pastors? No. Is it only just for the leaders? No. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. Everyone connect to it, right? And I said this the last time was, you know, we have this individual responsibility to decide, yes, I want it. And then with the whole obeying the instructions and all the training that comes with it. But then we got to realize as we come together, there is the corporate anointing on all of us to lead us to this corporate fulfillment. Because when we see the prophetic words fulfilled, it's going to be fulfilled as a church. Not just one person, not a superstar ministry. It's church ministry, saints ministry, all of us coming together. Example again, you know, community garden or Christmas parade or whatever we are doing, we can see it's all churches coming, sons coming together and being used by God, all as an instrument for God to use to touch the lives of people. Amen? So no more about me. And although we sing, you know, I have a destiny, but we got to see that this destiny involves everyone here, right? And also then we say in the second verse, we have a destiny. Maybe we can finish with that song. Amen? All right, maybe let's pray first. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have released seeds, you have released words to us today, Lord. That truly, Lord, right now, I declare that each and every one of us will know our destiny in you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, that let this seed that is sown in each and every one of us grow and bear fruits, more and more fruits, and that each and every one of us from today onwards will hunger and thirst and desire the spiritual things, will desire the spiritual gifts right now and stir in that in us, Lord, that we can be used to extend your kingdom, that it can be used to transform life, that it can be used to touch nations. Right now, I declare this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We have a destiny. Something fulfilled. Can we have the song, the lyrics? We have a destiny.